The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
My girl, Kamala Harris, is more than ready for this moment. Her story is your story. It's my story. It's the story of the vast majority of Americans trying to build a better life. Look, Kamala knows, like we do, that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, who you love, how you worship, or what's in your bank account, we all deserve the opportunity to build a decent life. All of our contributions deserve to be accepted and valued, because no one has a monopoly on what it means to be an American. No one. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. Now, unfortunately, we know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth. My husband and I sadly know a little something about this. For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. Who's gonna tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs? Look, I don't care how you identify politically, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or none of the above. This is our time to stand up for what we know in our hearts is right.
And that's Michelle Obama, the former First Lady, really spearing Donald Trump with those remarks. Her husband also got a look in with his speech.
Here's a 78-year-old billionaire who has not stopped whining about his problems since he rode down his golden escalator 9 years ago. It has been a constant stream of gripes and grievances that's actually been getting worse now that he's afraid of losing to Kamala. There's the childish nicknames, the crazy conspiracy theories, this weird obsession with crowd sizes. It just goes on and on and on. The other day I heard someone compare Trump to the neighbor who keeps running his leaf blower outside your window every minute of every day. Now, from a neighbor, that's exhausting. From a president, it's just dangerous. The truth is, Donald Trump sees power as nothing more than it means to his ends. He wants the middle class to pay the price for another huge tax cut that would mostly help him and his rich friends. He killed a bipartisan immigration deal written in part by one of the most conservative Republicans in Congress that would have helped secure our southern border, because he thought trying to actually solve the problem would hurt his campaign. He doesn't. Do not boo. Vote. He doesn't seem to care if more women lose their reproductive freedom, since it won't affect his life. We do not need four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before, and we all know that the sequel is usually worse.
And that's former President Barack Obama speaking at the Democratic National Convention last evening in Chicago. Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio, joins me. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
So, a bit of a show by the Democrats.
Absolutely. I mean, you played the highlights of the day two. Barack Obama did say he's the only person stupid enough to follow Michelle Obama. But they went out together and they pretty much laid the case or laid the groundwork for the rest of the convention and pretty much the rest of the campaign, because not only did they go after Donald Trump's policies, they went after him in a way that is designed to both motivate Democrats and independents who might still be on the fence, but get under Donald Trump's skin.
Now, their audience, obviously the people in the room and also Democrats who would be very anxious to see how their fortunes have turned since Joe Biden dropped out of the race. But for those undecided voters or the Republicans who are anybody but Trump Republicans, will they hear those messages?
I think quite possibly they could, because, again, remember, the margin that we're talking about here is about 5%. If 5% of people who are on the fence or never Trump Republicans move to the Democratic side, then that's a clear victory for the Democrats and pushes it out of any statistical dead heat or any question, or even though Donald Trump might try, push it beyond, hey, this was stolen from me. So again, if he's appealing to those, I'm going to say Americans who have legitimate who had legitimate doubts about Joe Biden, and get them back into the race to on their side, then it's a victory for the Democrats.
Now, how did Kamala Harris's husband do?
He did well. Again, he comes across, he's not coming across as someone who's scripted. So he came across as something as, you know, that he was being genuine. But more importantly, he is Jewish. And he, again, went after one of those, I guess, Achilles heels in the Democrats, that they are somehow anti-Semitic or anti-Israel when he talked about his own experience. And it was like, she can't be anti-Jewish. I'm Jewish. So he was there for a specific reason. One, the traditional spot for the first spouse, but also to take on that question of Democrats being anti-Semitic.
Now, what awaits in the convention? We've had some high spots. We've had Hillary Clinton, obviously, and now we've had the Obamas. What are we expecting from Bill?
Well, Bill tonight will come on again. Bill Clinton, you know, for all his baggage, is still a very popular man in the Democratic Party. And he can talk to things maybe people's memories have been a little bit forgotten. But again, he can talk to things that he did. And one of the biggest things that he did do was balance the budget. When he left office in 2001, the budget of the United States was in balance. It has not been in balance since then. So we could talk about his financial responsibilities. Bill Clinton, in and of himself, is also a great orator and can still fire up the crowd. So that's what the Democrats are hoping that he can do. Now, as you pointed out, they're not just talking to the people in the auditorium. You know, that's playing to the choir. You know, he's talking to the people in the rest of the country, specifically in the Midwest. You know, those who are liberal in some respects, conservative in other respects, conservative in the old way that we used to talk about it, he's trying to appeal to them, to pull them over to the Harris side.
And there was a Republican who spoke.
Yeah, actually, there were several. John Giles, he's a mayor from Arizona. He talked about why he couldn't vote for Trump because he wanted to vote for the adult in the room. Anna Navarro, who is a CNN Republican talking head, if you will, she came out and said, and there were several other people from inside the Trump White House who came out and talked about how they could not, while they were still conservative, while they still thought of themselves as members of the Republican Party, but they could not vote for Donald Trump.
Now, when you get the speakers up, some of them can be very, very, very entertaining, some less so. But there is, if you like, formal entertainment on offer as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, it different pop stars coming in, you know, the case of in the roll call, which is probably it's the most traditional part of the convention, but it's also the most boring and eye rolling part, you know, with various performers. I'm thinking of the one in Georgia. I can't remember his name at the moment, but when they have their little bit and they go on and other speakers, you know, towards or other performers during the various breaks in the convention to come on and motivate the crowd and give their implicit endorsement.
Now, I suppose the cautionary tale in all of this is that Kamala Harris was on a bit of a roll after her launch. And of course, this is, I suppose, feeding that particular role at the moment. But they have to get down to the nitty gritty of campaigning after this convention is over.
That's right. Now, again, one of the interesting things we're going to see is usually any candidate gets a post-convention bump. Did Kamala Harris already get her bump when she took over as the nominee for Joe Biden over a month ago? And this is a new bump, or did she already get the bump? So that's going to be number one. Number two, she's going to have to hit the trail, as you said. One of the interesting things about last night was that 90 miles away from Chicago in Milwaukee, she held a rally. She actually joined the convention after she was officially nominated via video. But it was in the same arena that she filled where the Republicans nominated Donald Trump a couple of weeks ago. She seems to be a different campaigner now than she was 4 or 5 years ago when she was running for the nomination for 2020. Now, again, she hasn't had a press conference yet with the media. She hasn't taken questions from the media. But so far, she seems to be getting off on the right foot, hitting the right notes, and having the right message.
Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.